I'm excited to share another intriguing episode of Amazing Careers, the podcast that's helping you have confidence that careers don't follow linear paths, but that all the twists and turns you take can absolutely still get you to where you need to be or want to be. Today's guest journey features not just two big career changes, but a country change as well. Born in Malta, Leah Vella had to navigate quite a niche education and job market at the start of her journey before eventually coming to the UK. What I love about her story is that she has absolutely taken ownership at each stage of her career journey, which we both hope will inspire listeners that a career change is absolutely within your control. Welcome, Leah. Hello.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And I'm so excited to be sharing your story with everybody. I think there'll be some wonderful insights for people to take away. What I wanted to do was actually start a bit further back with you than I have with some of my other guests, because I think the scene setting that you've done with me as to what the situation was in Malta and is in Malta and how that impacts the choices that you have to make at quite an early stage, I think that would be really insightful. So would you mind just sort of starting off there with how young it is when you have to start thinking about your career choices and why that is?
Okay, so Malta is, as we know, a very small island, which means there's only one university. I think at present there's about four colleges. And this all means that obviously competition is quite big. So in terms of places and which courses you can get to on uni, you kind of have to start figuring it out from a young age. And I'm talking about 12 years old, because at 12 years old, that is when you have to choose options, as in subjects, which will hopefully lead you into getting into courses in college. And it's only specific courses that can get you into specific courses in uni. So unfortunately, you have to start off at a very young age, kind of figuring out whereabouts you would be in your adult life, your working adult life, which is quite tough, I think. It's quite a big ask from kids. In any case, you know, you've got to go with it. And I've always had a kind of feel for anything related with biology, science. So I've always kind of known that I wanted to be either, say, a teacher and related to biology or marine biologist, something of that sort. So I ended up choosing biology in secondary. Now, when it came to college, because I had this, I was able to choose it as an A-level, which was great because I knew I needed an A-level biology to go into some sort of sector that required this. And yeah, we were rolling with it. And it was only until I got, there was some people came in into college from a psychiatric nursing course, which had just opened the previous year. And I happened to have the qualifications to, well, should I have to pass the subjects to get in? And it was like a light bulb went off and I was like, right, I want to become a psychiatric nurse. And yeah, I was only able to do this from the choices having chosen at 12 years old that I wanted biology, because I would have never been able to get into the course had I not had that. What's more is it's not enough getting a pass. The way uni works with certain courses in Malta is there's a limited space, again, because it's a very small country. So there was only 15 places. And yeah, I'm very happy that I got in. But yeah, it's a bit of a struggle to cut out the competition.
And I hope this might actually make people feel, people that are following the British education system might actually feel that they've had a slightly easier journey. So thank you for setting that scene. One of the things, when you and I talked about this beforehand, one of the things that you said that I think is a really important message, and I'm going to raise it here because it is at this point in your life that you've experienced it, but you said that this was actually the best decision of your life, despite the fact that, given the nature of this podcast, you have moved on from that career. but you actually said that was the best decision of your life. And can you tell us a bit more about that?
Oh, absolutely. Like, there is absolutely no regret. It is definitely one of the best decisions. I think, apart from the life skills that you learn, your eyes open to how the world works, different characters, etc. But the training I got to become a psychiatric nurse is just priceless. The transferable skills you get and communicating with people and thinking outside the box to, you know, cater to the individual. Look, even on a personal level, I'm overwhelmingly grateful that I happened to go to this experience, because it's just helped me in so many different factors of my life and not just in a career wise. I personally believe that everyone should learn some form of basics of mental health and, you know, how people live in society, different levels. I think everyone, it should be a compulsory course, to be honest.
I can imagine it would actually help out people in, as you say, in all sorts of areas as well. So I think it's safe to say you had a pretty traumatic, may not be the right word actually, but it was a pretty full-on career for the few years that you were doing that role.
Yes, it was. So I graduated. So prior to graduating, you have 3 years full-time course in uni, which includes summer, night shifts, the lot, which I think is quite useful actually, because for want of a better phrase, you get chucked into the deep end, and I think you gain much more on a personal level. So I was doing that for the 3 years, and then I qualified and I became a staff nurse in the only psychiatric hospital in Malta. And yeah, it was going great. I think on a personal level though, because again, it is such a small island, in terms of career progressions and posts that come out, they are reachable. Of course they are. But I felt that if I were to change country, it would just open up so many different doors and so many other different niches of psychiatric nursing. And if I may say so myself, I'm quite an ambitious individual. So yeah, I then decided that it was time for me to change country, move to the UK and carry on a psychiatric nursing career here.
And I think that is the first stage. Well, I said in your introduction about the fact that you have owned every stage of your career journey, and that sounds like the big first decision that you made was you wanted to progress. You couldn't do that in Malta, so you took the decision to move to the UK.
It was. Unfortunately, when you're a nurse, you need a PIN. It's like a registration, and rightfully so. Between countries, they have to check that the registration is up to scratch in the country wherever you're going to go and work. So it was taking quite a while. So what I decided to do, I thought it would be better for myself to just take the plunge, move to the UK without a job until obviously my registration was verified. And yeah, that allowed me, I think, to settle in the country. And by this, I mean, you know, when you're starting a new job, you want to go in fresh. And because I had just moved countries, I just wanted to make sure everything would go smoothly. So moving before the registration allowed me to settle in the country, learn the culture, which is obviously very important, psychiatric nurses, because you've got to pick up, you know, the culture and the norms. It's very different to Malta. And yeah, and it gave me plenty of time to, even without registration, to see what there are job-wise and different niches and how I would go about it. And yeah, that time was priceless. And lucky enough, within, I think it was 4.5 months of moving the country, I went for an interview and lucky enough, I got the job. So yeah, I was well chuffed with that.
So another lesson that I think I might just call out to people there is this idea of being comfortable with having that space, giving yourself some space to just line a few other areas of your life up before you necessarily have to dive into the career piece. I think too often that job element, partly because of the money side, the fact you need to earn money does force people into situations that might not be the right one. So the lesson you took from that was just to give yourself that chance.
Of course. I mean, I must add, I was in a position where, you know, I did save up some funds on the, you know, just in case. But yeah, I it was the right decision to do. You've got to take that chance and you've got to believe in yourself as well.
So it's, people won't be surprised to hear that things, it was not an easy job over in the UK being a psychiatric nurse. And no, you had challenges that maybe you hadn't had in Malta. But still, it took its toll a bit.
It did. Look, I loved the job. Psychiatric nursing is always going to be a part of me. But I just felt that, you know, again, very ambitious. I was limited to how innovative I could be in terms of client care, etc. And also, work-life balance was pretty much non-existent, which is not good for the patients, it's not good for myself. And yes, I just kind of felt that it was time to move on now. You know, I'd learned what I needed to learn. I was learning every day, but there was, you know, my gut was telling me it's time to move on now. So yeah, I decided to change careers again.
And this next stage, I just love, because this for me is absolutely epitomizing using your network, using people around you, owning that decision again as to how you were going to make that move, what you needed to do to upskill yourself.
Yes. So
why don't you let our listeners know what you moved into? I suspect they won't guess.
Yes, so the career change, believe it or not, went from psychiatric nursing to insurance, which is, you know, too and far between.
How did you land on that as an option for yourself?
Right, so as I said, you know, I'd made the decision that it was time to move on. And, you know, like any other person, especially in healthcare, I think, because it's just so niche, you just think to yourself, what can I do? You know, what can I apply my skills to? Anyway, I happen to know a few people in insurance, and as you do when you're out with friends, etc., you start talking and you get to know a bit about the job. By my own self-admission, I'm a bit of a nerd as well. So, you know, you just, some things that interest you, just look up. So I decided, like, you know, I could do this, but I wasn't unrealistic in the fact that I knew that on my CV was healthcare. I had no, you know, business degree, no economics, no maths, no, none of this. But so I knew I would need to cut out competition. It was just how to go about it. So I had my contacts, and what I did was, obviously, by this time, I'd left the nursing job to just focus into breaking into the industry. And yeah, so I had some contacts and I managed to get work experience, which was great. And during this time, I started doing some insurance qualifications, just knowing that I needed some form of something on paper and background to justify my position. I knew I was able to do it, but I didn't need to convince myself. I needed to convince other people and I needed to break in the door. So I was doing that work experience. I'm paid for these exams in between. And yeah, after that finished, I managed to get yet another placement, another company for work experience. And I honestly just kept on asking for more work and, oh, I can do this and I can do that. And just learning, just taking it all in. And yeah.
The words I had here from when we spoke before was that you have to hustle. And I certainly get that impression from you. You are a hustler.
You do. And even though I was on work experience and, you know, I wasn't getting paid, which is neither here nor there, because the experience I was getting was invaluable. But even then, if you had to be there from 9 to 5, I was there from 9 to 7. Because you have got to hustle. You've got to prove, and, you know, prove to people that you are able to do this, they can trust you. And yeah, you're into the role. So yeah, I did hustle, and I hustled a lot.
So you did get a paid role as a claims handler, is that right?
Yes. Yes, after 4 months, I got offered a role, and I was ecstatic.
Wonderful. And I think, again, that the hustling did not stop. You sort of learnt, well, made sure you were taking on different classes of business, that you were always looking for the next opportunity.
Yes. So obviously I was a junior, and we had our own class of a portfolio. Obviously I had my manager. But yeah, I just felt it wasn't enough for me. I just needed to learn different other businesses and how they deal with their insurances. So in the team, I happened to become quite friendly with two other senior ladies in the team. And, you know, talking about a claim and this, and you ask a few questions here and there. And eventually, I think we had enough of a relationship that I was able to ask them, like, oh, can I help out with this? Or can I do this? And that allowed me to grow on a professional level. And actually even on a personal level, because you're just growing your skills continuously.
And I really want to bring people back to this theme that runs through your story, Leah, this idea that you're constantly seeking, constantly looking, constantly asking, but doing it with people that you know. You're not having to necessarily go out cold. You're just leveraging your wider network around you. And we can all do that.
Yes, absolutely. It is doable for anyone. You know, just through talking. Look, you could be out having a drink with your friends and someone mentions something who knows someone, or, you know, and you just go from there. This is everyone, you know, everyone's quite social, everyone goes out. It's not necessarily doing business meetings, specific business meetings. You meet people throughout your life along the way, and, you know, you just have to kind of grab it with two hands, any opportunity that you feel will help you.
So your time in insurance gave you exposure to the corporate world, but we've got one more change for you to come up. which again was obviously leveraging people much closer to you this time, but still, again, the theme that I think people will hear with this next and current phase of your career journey, they will hear this theme of you really looking for opportunities to grow and really pushing yourself. So tell us about where you've moved to now.
So it's a home improvement company. It's actually owned by my mother. And my role predominantly is to oversee, you know, compliance and operations. And yeah, I would describe it as a jack of all trades. And I love it because there's so many different departments and you kind of got to start from scratch. I mean, you've got HR departments, you've got the accounts, you've got to see that they're all flowing together, so to speak. And I think what people don't realize is there's all these big role titles out there, and you think to yourself, oh, I could never do that. But in actual fact, you probably could. All it takes is, you know, you just get stuck in. I personally find that the best way is to just come clean and just say, you know what, I don't know how to do this. Can you show me? Because this allows people to not assume that you have some form of background. They're automatically going to show you. And that's what you need. You just need someone to show you, to do it a few times and, you know, a bit of further research or this and that. And you can develop on that. So, for instance, what I mean by this is when I first started, and even now, actually, you know, if I have an accounting problem and I'll call up the accountants, I mean, the accountants, they can do it. Of course they can. I have an in-house accounting team and I have the firm. But I think in terms of development, it's not the first time where I've said to the accountant, my accountant, right, okay, you've explained it, but can I come to your office and can you show me how to do it on the system? Because that allows you to visualize it, you're seeing it, you're learning, you're in training. I think you're building, you know, professional networking as well. You're building your skills. You're taking away ideas to the wider team. And all this has just been brought about by just me calling the accountant saying, you know what, I don't know how to do this. Can you show me how? And can I come to your offices so I can properly, you know, see how it's done? And that's it. And the reality is, you will find very, I find at least, you will find very little resistance from people when they realize that you're really wanting to learn. I mean, ultimately, if you think about it, if you've got the skills, then you're helping out the accountant because you're kind of knowing what you're doing, but also you're seeing different avenues. It opens your mind to different ideas, and you'd be surprised how many light bulb moments go off and say, actually, well, if this is like this and this is like this, then surely, you know, this could be implemented. And I think that's all it is, really. It's just growth. So if I can do it, I think anyone can do it.
And I think on that note, Leah, that is just a perfect way to finish this. I cannot thank you enough for your time. You've been inspiring to me on the times that we've had these conversations. I'm absolutely thrilled we've been able to share your story today. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. It's been lovely being here.
So everybody, that was Leah Vella. If you would like to get in touch with Leah directly, do let me know. And of course, I'm dying to have your feedback as well on how you're experiencing and using Amazing Careers. You can reach me, Laura Parker, at lozzaloveuk@outlook.com. That's lozzaluvuk@outlook.com. Until the next time.